There is an exciting time coming when the people in Christ will be caught up to be with Him. This is promised in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, and the words caught up are also the sermon topic that Brother David Johnson will use on this Words of Life program. We are brought to you by the prayerful support of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus the Christ. We will hear about this great opportunity soon, but first we present praise of our Lord in song.
Here I lay.
Thank you, Father, for allowing us to talk to you. We know that you are always listening and you are ready to meet our needs as your will directs. Our world is facing a serious health crisis, causing changes in how we do things. We know that no crisis is greater than you, so please bless us with healing and understanding to meet this need. Especially bless your servants, those who are living and teaching for you. Protect them from persecution. Help all congregations to be able and willing to meet together in worship. As your word says, Jesus is going to return for his church at your appointed time. Help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Caught Up.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God, apply it to our lives, and share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is Caught Up. And our text, our main text, is in the New Testament, the 1 Thessalonian letter, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Please listen to the Word of God. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We continue in our series regarding unfulfilled prophecy. We've studied about the day of the Lord. That is God's judgment of unrepentant unbelievers, especially during the coming tribulation or 7-year distress to come upon the entire world, the entire earth. Many Christians interpret Scripture to reveal that the catching up of the church will precede, that is, be before that terrible time on this earth. Our primary text, again, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul first visited Thessalonica, the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia, which is today in modern Greece, in the year of our Lord 49. According to Bible scholars, Thessalonica at that time had a population of about 200,000, roughly the size of Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the country of the United States. On Paul's first visit to Thessalonica, he won many idolatrous people to faith in Christ Jesus. Although he stayed there only about 3 months, he taught them many important biblical truths regarding the church at large. The important truths included unfulfilled Bible prophecy. It may surprise many today that Paul would teach Bible prophecy to new converts. Some would think this would be inappropriate, but Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, did think it appropriate and even needful, even as new converts. Paul obviously did not think it wiser to wait until they were more mature to teach them prophecy, even unfulfilled prophecy. Today, many denominations and churches are not taught much at all regarding especially future unfulfilled prophecy. Probably many preachers and teachers believe the subject of prophecy is too controversial, even too complicated for their members to understand. Yet God did not think prophecy too controversial, since he revealed so very much in Scripture. Furthermore, if one takes prophetic content literally according to its plain meaning, absent obvious figurative context, then why should it be considered complicated? Moreover, the Apostle Paul had a very practical concern in teaching his new converts about the catching up or the rapture of the church. Whenever someone mentions the word rapture, another is certain to point out that the term rapture never occurs in the Bible, that is, the English Bible. Well, neither does the word Trinity. But that term is not denounced by the vast majority of Christians. Actually, the words caught up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 are the English translation from the original Greek word that means to snatch, to seize suddenly, or to transport from one place to another. Moreover, it's a translation of the original Greek word rapturo. That's where we get our English word rapture, which is the concept to describe this future event of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This complaint of using the term rapture reminds me of a critical member in the church chastising a Bible student for using his original Greek language New Testament instead of the authorized 1611 King James Version. But back to Paul's very practical concern in teaching his new converts about the coming rapture. It was to offer them comfort and encouragement in their grief over the death of their Christian relatives and friends during the persecution that came upon the church from the Jews and also from the pagan Gentiles. The basic concern for the Thessalonian Christians seemed to be that in the time since Paul left Thessalonica, some of the believers among the new church had died. The remaining Christians wondered, will these deceased Christians miss the hope of the rapture? If Jesus comes soon to catch up living believers, will the bodies of their dead Christian loved ones remain in the grave until some time later? Therefore, Paul wrote a letter back that includes these words, quote, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." So with this unfulfilled prophecy, this revelation, Paul made it clear to the Thessalonian church and to the church down through the centuries to today that there is no disadvantage for those Christians who have already died in Christ Jesus. Isn't this comforting and encouraging to us today also? We have this truth confirmed in Scripture. It is written. This idea of being caught up is based on the original Greek word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. This same Greek word is also used in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, which says, "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." Moments later, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 40, Philip appeared Azotus, which was about 10 to 15 miles away. In a similar way, the Lord's church will be snatched away to meet the Lord in the air at that time. and that will certainly include all who fall asleep, that is, die in Christ Jesus, plus those yet alive in Christ. That's comforting now. That's our blessed hope. As according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, now, in the future, at a signless, sudden moment in time, the spirits of believers who have already died and have been in the presence of the Lord in heaven, by God's power, will be miraculously reunited with their glorified bodies, along with living Christians, glorified also instantly and caught up to be with the Lord forever. That's supremely encouraging now to know and believe. And that's practical now. Note the first few words of our passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 13, where it says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant." The New American Standard Bible translates, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren." Sadly, today, much of the church at large is uninformed, ignorant of these type truths, because they are not taught with any clarity or depth regarding the catching up. We should understand that all premillennialists, in prophetic understanding or interpretation, believe in the catching up, believe in the rapture. But there is wide disagreement about the timing of this unfulfilled prophecy in relation to the coming tribulational period across this planet. Will the church go through any or all of the 7-year tribulation before the rapture occurs? Let's consider three reasons for the church being raptured before the tribulation, that is, a pre-tribulational rapture, and therefore not go through any of the coming 7-year tribulation. Number one, Scripture promises that the church is exempt from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, which says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." Notice in the last passage, the Lord promises not just being exempt from the testing, but to keep us from the very time, the hour of trial that is to come to the earth. Number two reason for a pre-tribulational rapture is that from humanity's viewpoint, it could occur at any moment. Therefore, the church should constantly anticipate it, being watchful and ready. His coming in the air is imminent. It is sure to happen, but it also could happen at any time. For example, consider all of these passages to the first century church, which reinforce this idea of imminence that the catching up, the rapture, could come at any time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, which says in part, "You eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed," referring to the early church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, which says in part, "Come, O Lord." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, that says in part, "The Lord is near." Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, again addressed to first century AD churches, which says, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And then the small epistle of Jude, verse 21. "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Only the pre-tribulational position allows for an imminent, could happen at any time, and signless coming of Christ for His church. Christ's imminent coming at any moment is a truth that should fill us with hope now, with anticipation and motivation for godly living today and every day. Brother R.H. Bull writes these words, quote, "One of the marks of the apostolic churches, in every way as essential as any other characteristic of worship or doctrine, was their constant expectation of the Lord's return. Corinth was waiting for it and taught to look forward to the event with hope, despite the defects that were then attaching to them." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Thessalonica had turned to God to serve Him and to wait for His Son from heaven, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Philippi had their citizenship in heaven, whence also they waited for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. To the Hebrew brethren, it is declared that Jesus would come a second time to them that wait for Him unto Revelation, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. James makes it the ground of the Christian's patience under trial and suffering in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. And we might continue. This much is evident, that much mention is made of the coming again of our Lord. That great weight was placed on it. That it furnished the basis and motive of all faithful Christian life and unworldliness. And that all the churches of the apostolic time were in an attitude of constant expectation of the Savior from heaven. No church or Christian that has lost view of or ignores this doctrine fills the true pattern left to us in the New Testament. It is high time to study and preach and teach this wonderfully great and wonderfully neglected portion of God's holy truth. End of quote. Number three reason for a pre-tribulational rapture is that the key New Testament passages that deal with the tribulation period consistently fail to mention the presence of the church. The main portion of the Bible that describes the tribulational period is Revelation chapters 6 through 19, and in this section there is a strange silence concerning the church. In Revelation chapters 1 through 5, the church is specifically mentioned 19 times. But in Revelation chapters 6 through 19, the church is absent from the earth. The best inferences, therefore, or implications of the New Testament indicate a pre-tribulational rapture. However, we should also recognize that the timing of the rapture or the catching up is not directly nor explicitly revealed in the New Testament. It is based on inferences, implications of Scripture. Charles Ellis of Indianapolis, Indiana writes these words, quote, "I am a tremendous sports fan. Since many sporting events take place when I am not at home, I record them. When it's time to sit in my easy chair and view the game, unlike most people, I don't start at the beginning. Instead, I fast forward to the end to see who won and who lost. If my team lost, I'll stop watching. Stop watching. But if my team won, I'll start the game at the beginning, get out some snacks, and watch the whole game." Now, some would say this method can't be very much fun, but I love it. No matter how bad things look for my team, I don't have to worry because I know the end of the story. No chest pains, no indigestion. That's how we might think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. No matter how bad things look, we don't have to worry because we know the end of the story. In Christ, we always win. And it will gloriously begin when we in Christ are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, that is, in our glorification. Are you ready? Are you in Christ Jesus? You must be in order to be caught up.
Are you ready to be caught up to be with Jesus? If you are not, please give full consideration to this opportunity today. If we can help you in making a decision for Jesus Christ or answer questions, please write to us by mail or email. We want to hear from you. And you may also request a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast number 2023. That's 2023, and we thank you for listening. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing the Lord.